absolute honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. And tomorrow, of course, is Open Line Friday. And just a suggestion. Obviously, you get to talk about whatever you like. We want to focus a bit on things that Rush predicted would happen in the Trump presidency and things that have come to pass where Rush got these things right. So just a suggestion for the phones tomorrow as we wrap up the year. Coming up, I want to tell you one of the least reported stories that you will ever hear the media hiding in what I call the propaganda of silence. That's the most powerful form of propaganda the media has because they've lost so much credibility with the right that hiding things is really their most effective tool. When you hear this, I want you to get prepared to talk to liberals, but I want you to pretend it's something Trump did. And so we're going to get into that coming up. Across the country, people are talking about this Texas shooting. And if you've not watched a video of this, the shooting in the church in Texas, if you've not watched the video of this, I didn't sufficiently describe something. And I'm feeling awful about this, that gunman goes into a church, pulls out what appears to be and what sounds like a shotgun. And this is as they're serving the Holy Communion. So he waits until that moment. In that church, two gentlemen stood. One gentleman, in fact, stood and drew fire to himself. He did. He was a concealed carry holder. He stood up and made himself visible so that that person would focus on him. And he reached for his weapon. He did not get to draw because the shooter took him down. Whoever that gentleman was, that man knew what he was doing. Focus on me during the Holy Communion. And you think, no greater love hath he than thee who gives life for his brother. Now, that moment, that's a hugely heavy moment. Another gentleman was taken down almost immediately. 6 seconds into this, return fire from a gentleman I understand is the volunteer security guard. He ended the life of the assailants with a headshot at about 50 to 60 feet and took the guy down. So that guy was, the assailant was dead in 6 seconds. There's a lot to talk about here, and there's a lot of layers to what I want to talk about here in relation to this, particularly around policy. One of the things I want you to know, because I come from the West Coast, right? I'm broadcasting from Seattle, which is where I currently live. I can tell you that there is a concerted effort to take crimes that involve guns and pretend they're not criminal acts. They are healthcare issues. And Dawn from Clearwater, Florida asked me, is there any connection between Medicaid and gun control? One dynamic of the left that is so fascinating to me is that the true leaders of the left, that is the true thinkers of the left, that's not Liz Warren. And that's not, maybe Barack Obama might be up there, but it's certainly not the Bernie Sanders, etc. The true thinkers on the left play a very, very long game. And so many followers of the left play an emotional game, a short game. So let me tell you from the West Coast, what are the things they're doing? They're taking gun crimes and they're making them health care related. Now, mark me on this. Okay, this is so important for you to know. The West Coast in Seattle, Washington State, there was a recent ruling that voters cannot vote on things related to public health. Did you hear that? So if there was a Medicaid for all, if that happens, then if gun crimes supposedly are healthcare related, this can all be looped up together into something that could restrict access to healthcare and restrict and increase insurance rates, etc., autocratically across the board. They're already pushing these crimes to be healthcare related and trying to meld these things into a great big bureaucracy that can say, well, this is a public health crisis. So the leaders of the left think very, very long term. So gun control didn't work. Then they did gun safety. Now they're turning it into a public health care crisis. And we know that whenever the word crisis is involved on the left, that there comes then in the wake of that, then a government takeover. So just map that and be aware of that, this great stew of one-party politics, California, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, the West Coast. That's where things appear to be headed. Joe Biden had said in September that it is irrational it was irrational for Texans to say we'd like to be able to carry in our house of worship. Irrational. So Joe Biden, I wonder what you're thinking now. Mark from Waterford, Minnesota, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in.
Hey.
Mark, hi.
Yes, hi. Hey, Waterford, Michigan.
My apologies.
No problem. I just wanted to add to what you started to talk about regarding the shooting yesterday. One of the points that I wanted to make was that Joe Biden a couple months ago, yes, did admonish Texas for allowing concealed carriers to carry in safe zones and churches, of course. But if you remember, if we strain our memories a little bit, about 4 years ago, after one of the mass shootings at one of the schools, I can't remember which one, Joe Biden came out and said, there's no reason for anybody to have a semi-automatic pistol or semi-automatic weapon for self-defense in their house. He said, a shotgun will work just fine. Yep. And that's exactly the weapon that the guy used yesterday.
Well, and not just this, Mark, and I appreciate you remembering this. We talked about this in the first hour. Joe Biden had said the ultimate self-defense in your home, and he told Jill, go to the back deck and fire the shotgun off in the air. So he said, get a double-barreled shotgun, fire it in the air. Do you know what Joe Biden didn't know? It was illegal to do that where he lives. Secondly, it's a double-barreled shotgun. You fire off both barrels. Guess what? You're empty. And if the assailant's armed, they're not empty. It's always fascinating to hear someone like Biden opine on things he just doesn't understand. Mark, thanks for the phone call from Michigan. And I'd like to present a scenario to you. And this is a scenario. You have a media that does everything they can to attach race instantly to shootings and to deaths. And I just would look at the New York death. Okay, so we had the anti-Semitic killings. We had the Delhi attack. We had recently the guy went into the rabbi's home and attacked people with what appears to be a machete. A couple of things about this that I've been observing with the left is they have erected what is effectively the new original sin. And this also comes from places West Coast. The new original sin is whiteness, which is a tax attached to being white. So if that's the new original sin, how does one then go about receiving grace? How does one then go about receiving forgiveness for being white? One goes about that by joining an intersectional group and then going to the leader of that group and saying, what intersectional group need I join so that I can absolve myself of this great original sin of whiteness? Right? Now, think of think of replacing religion with their sort of version of this. But B, look at how visible this is now. Look at how visible the original sin is. Well, we know that whiteness is related to being white. Therefore, all white people are imbued with the disease. In fact, the Seattle Public Library did a thing that was called, they did a week-long event, The Problem with Whiteness. This was the thesis. The problem with the world is whiteness, which is embodied by white people. So then what do you do to, how do you get rid of the problem? Right? That's what they're in. So look in New York. Look at these, the attacks. Has anyone ever said, wait, is there a racial component to this? Or is this something we don't mention out? No, because it doesn't match the original sin. But further in the state of, in these attacks in New York, in the Delhi, which is New Jersey, where a guy went in and killed people in the Delhi. That guy was apparently a member of the Black Hebrew Israelites. Go back in your memory. The Black Hebrew Israelites, who were they? Well, who are they? And where do you remember them in Washington, D.C., at a pivotal event around a group of students? So you had Nicholas Sandman and his fellow students in Washington, D.C., and there they are carrying with them original sin. A lot of them were white. Nicholas Sandman's obviously white. He was the young man in the Trump hat who was said to be smirking as the Native American man was playing the drum in front of him. You remember this incident. They had said, the students said that there were some people who were yelling, you know, racial slurs at them and sounded like racial threats. It was the Black Hebrew Israelites. And CNN spent 2 weeks telling us, no, the Black Hebrew Israelites, they're completely peaceful. So look at that dynamic. A kid stands there. And of course he's uncomfortable. He's in the middle of this crowd. There's cameras all over him. He stands there and I took him to be watching the drummer play. The media just downplayed the Black Hebrew Israelites who now are connected to at least this deli attack. We don't know at this point about the other attack in New York that said that the man has mental illness issues. He probably does. But does the media ever realize that we are watching this as well? And by the way, if you want to power people who do have in them racial hatred, if you want to power people who are, in fact, white nationalists, keep skewing the news that way, because they use that to merchandise, see what's being done. Or be fair, if race matters in a headline, then it always matters. If it doesn't matter in headlines, then it never matters. That's all I'm asking of the media, to be fair. You think they can? Think I can do that? It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. In just a second, we're going to do a little theater of the mind. And I'm going to present to you a story that I contend is the most hidden story of the decade. And I'm going to present it as if it's something President Trump did. Then I'm going to reveal the details to you because it's something that Obama did. And it is shocking how little attention this has gotten. And in fact, it will shock liberals, you know. Let me tell you this. You want to shock liberals, get the Limbaugh letter and go to rushlimbaugh.com and subscribe to this. Get both the digital and the print copies of this, because it is incredible fun to have your collection of the Limbaugh letters out and just put them around places in your home. And people pick them up and read them and ask people, like, do you think you know what's in the Limbaugh letter? Coming up in January, the issue of the Limbaugh letter, Doug Weed has a book called Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency. This thing is, wow, rocketing up the charts. And like the Limbaugh letter, Weed actually uses facts. So you might, if you put this version at home, you might want to write in red on top of it, facts included, just sort of as a trigger warning for people. If the 2020 election's about to rev up, now's the time. Subscribe to Limbaugh letter. So go to rushlimbaugh.com so that you can make that happen today. All right, this is a thought experiment. So what I'm going to do is I'm taking something Barack Obama did that has not been on the morning shows. It has not been on Chuck Todd's show. It has not been on CNN. It has not gotten any coverage, which it deserves. Okay, so I'm going to change a little bit here. Then I'm going to give you the details to reveal what Obama actually did. So thought experiment begins now. Okay, I'm going to act like a sort of liberal version of a newscaster here for a second. We've learned through named intelligence officials, seven now on the record, that President Trump intervened in an eight-year effort to stop Russian drug smuggling into the United States of America. A effort involving the DEA, the FBI, multiple international agencies, tracked to the very top of the Russian mob, money laundering, drug smuggling into our countries and others, through, in fact, the American southern border in partnership with Mexican-based narco-terrorists, cocaine into our country in billions of dollars a year revenue for what appears to be a militia-like organization within Russia. President Trump stopped the indictment of these officials and, in fact, stopped the progress of an eight-year investigation. Seven named officials in the intelligence agency have now come forward, in fact, with full documentation of this investigation, full documentation of papers they had prepared for indictments. President Trump allowed Russia to ship cocaine into our countries and others so that he could say that he had maintained peace with Putin's Russia. Okay, that's the thought experiment. Have you ever heard of Project Cassandra, which co-starred a name that you are going to recognize, John Brennan? Okay. Josh Meyer at Politico revealed the most hidden story that I've ever seen. I will talk sometimes about the propaganda of silence. This is a prime example. One of the biggest weapons the press has is to be silent. The fact of the matter is, there was an eight-year investigation. The fact of the matter is, it did involve all of those agencies. The fact of the matter is, they were ready to make arrests and indict Hamas. Representatives of Hamas, who had been turning their organization from a terrorist organization just into now a funded organization collecting $1 billion a year. And Barack Obama, from the highest levels this came, began to throw up roadblocks in this effort. David Asher is a veteran U.S. illicit finance expert sent from the Pentagon to work on this project called Project Cassandra. He said this was a policy decision. It was a systematic decision. They serially ripped apart the entire effort that was well-supported and resourced, and it was done from the top down. And why? So Barack Obama could say he had done a deal with Hamas. And sitting center to this was John Brennan, who has never been asked about this, to my knowledge, at any of the multiple media stations on which he appears. But this can be fixed. Brennan's going to be on TV, we know, probably today, multiple times. How about asking him about this? Because it was Brennan who said that he wanted to work with the moderate factions of Hamas. He said they're interesting. Can you imagine for 2 seconds if President Trump had allowed Russia to do this, how much coverage it would get? Do you see the power of the propaganda of silence? Because if you go tell your liberal friends Barack Obama let Hamas ship cocaine into our country, they're going to say, there you go, look into the lying news. When in fact, they are named intelligence officials. In fact, they did bring about the actual documentation. That's how powerful the propaganda of silence is, and why shows like Rush's, in fact, Rush's is so important. Dave from Anchorage, Alaska, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Hey, that's my family heritage up there in Alaska. Dave, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Todd, for taking my call. I want to get to the point really quick because I know time is always short, and I want you to really expound on this. I'll just give you the thoughts. I want to point out more hypocrisy regarding gun control from those on the left. I would love to ask Democrats, and I do this with my friends, especially Democrats, when we hear of a mass shooting, what is truly at the heart of the matter that causes people to want to further gun control laws? What is truly at the heart of the matter? Is it I would expect the answer to be, it must be the sanctity of life. They're just so saddened by the unnecessary loss of life, especially when we hear about it in a school where young kids are involved. But I point out this, because I looked this up on the CDC website. There's little more than 30,000 gun-related deaths annually in the U.S. So I also looked this up. There's over 60,000 drug-related deaths. So how can the left want to be more liberal with drugs when it clearly affects more than twice as many as guns? Why are they so always on board with more gun laws? There's over 30,000 gun laws already at the federal level.
All right.
The more staggering number is this. This is the one that really hurts. 650,000 abortions.
Yep, we're going to get to this. You did say time is tight. I'm going to keep your name. I'm going to come back. I'm going to expand on what you said because you just started something very important, Dave, from Alaska. That's coming up. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. That's right. My name, Todd Herman, and a huge, unbelievable honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. Someday, I hope you get a chance to see behind the scenes, Team EIB. And every time I get an opportunity to do this, I'm reminded that this is the number one radio show in the world, and people could sit back, and they don't. Everybody here works so hard, and it's just such a testimony to loving what they do. So Dave from Anchorage, Alaska, had just asked a question about the hypocrisy of the left in related to gun control. He was saying, okay, when there's a shooting, what is it, this concern? Is it it must be the sanctity of human life that causes them to want to immediately ban guns. And then what about the deaths by opioids and by other drugs that dwarf that of murders by guns that far dwarfs it? So at that point, let's not deal with the inanimate object. Let's, in fact, give the inanimate object away. And then he brought up to that point then abortion, right? Well, so there's, again, that dwarfs everything else. So he's saying, so what is it? What is the hypocrisy? So if you look at the left in relation to gun crimes, you got to do one comparison. When there is a mass shooting event, say at a school or a mall, there's one response. Okay, that response is to trigger in everybody else fear. And that is to say that the Democrats are playing this game of we are the only ones who will protect you. We are the only ones who stand between you and your kids, God forbid, getting shot at a mall. So this is, they play protector role. Okay. They also play fundraiser role. So that's what they do. Now, those events are so rare and increasingly rare, despite what the media says. But they're opportunities to scare everybody because it could happen to you. So you take those sort of black swan moments, unpredictable event. Compare, though, the gang shootings, which happen on a regular basis, every weekend, in weeks on weeks. In fact, I was reading about Baltimore and the fact that Baltimore is now the most dangerous city. It's more dangerous than places like in Afghanistan. And that was Detroit for years. Now it's Baltimore. The media and the Democrats treat that completely differently. And they employ silence. The propaganda of silence. They don't talk about that because that would put them in the position of having to talk about some uncomfortable things in relation to intersectional partnerships and in relation to overall strategy. The strategy they have on mall shootings is scare mom-pa America, raise funds, act like we're protecting you. The strategy they employ with gang shootings is to say, we don't want to talk about that because we don't want to fix the things that are in the inner cities. If we'd wanted to, we've had control of the inner cities for 40 years. We don't want to fix them because it provides us the ability to say, you're there because of the Republicans. That's the difference that they get to say to Ma and Pa America, your kid's going to die in a mall unless you let us ban AR-15s and send us money. And they get to say to the inner cities, oh, it's going to get worse if the Republicans come along. So they treat these things completely differently because they are using them never for solutions, but always, in fact, in pursuit of more power. So that's the difference, Dave. That's why they treat them that differently. Let's go to the phone. Cheryl in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. We've talked about the media a lot today. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, you want to make a point as well? Welcome.
It's uncanny that you mentioned what you did, Todd, because that's what I was trying to say, is I'm deeply disappointed in the way the media has treated Donald Trump. If they did that to Obama, it would have been a whole different story. And Lord knows he did things, too. And some of the things Trump ends up getting blamed for, and it's not even stuff that he instituted. And then the other thing of it is he's delivered on his promises and more, and nobody seems to acknowledge that. I mean, he's done what he said, and you don't need a translator to figure out what he's saying. He's a little blunt, but he says what he means.
No, he does, exactly. And this is something that the D.C. types don't get. Let me ask this question, Cheryl. Were you ever of the mind that Barack Obama, when he was having beers and smoking cigarettes with his buddies and playing basketball, or smoking marijuana and playing basketball, did you think that Barack Obama spoke like, look, I have looked at your defense, and if all due respect, it's wanting? Or do you think he was maybe a little bit more casual, throwing in, you know, a curse word here or there? What do you think he was like, reading from a teleprompter or just hanging out with his buddies?
You know, with him, he always seemed to be like the teleprompter guy. Like he just read what they, you know what I mean, what they put there. He didn't seem like Trump could elaborate on things and say what, you know, his own thing. He doesn't need a teleprompter all the time. Obama seemed like he needed a teleprompter, like he couldn't do without one.
Yeah, I think he is such a product, Obama. I think I could see that. But knowing people who know him in private and have talked to him in private, he shifts into normal person gear. He curses, right? He does these things off the cuff. And this is the thing about the president, is he does not code shift for us. He is who he is. And yes, there are people who are bothered by it. But one other point I want to make about what you're saying, Cheryl, I want to thank you for the call. Thank you very much, is this. In relation to the media and Obama, in relation to the president, here's a theory I have, and it is this, that the media is more bothered by things the president says than things Obama did or Biden did. Case in point, President Trump had a phone call with the leader of Ukraine. And in that phone call, the president said, hey, I'd like you to look into corruption in your country. That was part of the deal. with Congress when we said, yeah, we'll help you, Ukraine, against Russia, but you got to fix the corruption. So he said, I'd like you to look into this. Didn't pressure. There's no quid pro quo. There's none of that. And it's now, this is impeachment. And the media is full on board. Joe Biden actually did what they are accusing the president of doing. All the president said is, would you look into this? What Biden said is, you're going to fire the prosecutor going after my son, or you're not getting your money. He actually consummated the act that the president is accused of. And Cheryl, I think the media thinks we forget these things. What would you say to the national media about whether or not we're forgetting these things or keeping track of them?
I'm keeping track of them, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, too. I'd say be a little more objective. You know, I went to journalism school, and all they taught was, you know, be objective. There's no objectivity anymore.
Exactly. And this is where the press does not get that the magic button doesn't work anymore, so they're doing things that are more and more extreme. Thank you for the call, Cheryl. I appreciate that very much. So Joe Biden's been in the news, and deservedly so, because Joe Biden had some advice to the folks of Texas. He said it's irrational. Don't let people bring concealed carry into the places of worship. Joe Biden also had some advice. Hey, if someone breaks into your house, fire a shotgun in the air. Wade from Williamstown, Vermont, tried that. Wade, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. So you tried this? Someone trying to break into your house? You fired a shotgun in the air?
Todd, I wanted to take issue with Biden's comment where he told Jill if they had a break in to grab a shotgun and run to the back door and fire two shots. We had a home invasion at my home one time, and things happened so fast that I didn't have time to run to the back door or fire a shot. And had I run to the back door, I'd have ran face first right into the guy. You know, the whole thing was over from start to finish in about 20 seconds. And so that's why I think that homeowners in every state should be allowed to own guns and be prepared to use them, because if there had been a policeman sitting in the front yard, he couldn't have gotten my house quick enough. It's just nuts that these people think you can't defend yourself.
You had your firearm, and you defended your family.
I sure did. I met the guy in the kitchen and opened fire on him.
Wow. Wow. Wade, how did that feel?
It was scary. But he fled out the back door, you know, immediately because he wasn't expecting that. And, the whole family was just traumatized for days after that. But, you know, just thank God we were able to stop him.
Yeah. And I think people sometimes look at folks like us who carry as bloodthirsty. Did you feel a bloodthirst at that moment, or did you just feel absolutely?
No, I just felt grateful to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad that you did that, and thank God that you had access to that firearm. Thank you, Wade, for the phone call, and thanks for being one of the persons who chose not to be a victim in the way that Joe Biden would have us be, because we're all irrational and want to protect ourselves. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. And let me just tie this back together a little bit more completely. So a couple of calls around the left's treatment of the president and the left's treatment on issues related to gun control and the hypocrisy of gun control versus drugs, etc. If the media had in fact treated President Obama the way they have treated President Trump, of course it would be the full story. And the treatment of Obama continues to this day. We talked earlier in the program about the fact that Barack Obama allowed Hezbollah to ship drugs into our country. So they continue to soft pedal and hide Obama's many offenses. But one of his biggest offenses was something he didn't do. And this to me has always been the tragedy of Obama. I loathed his policies. I found him and find him to be a dangerous man, and full stop. He's the reason I left a very happy life in technology to go work in politics, is because I saw Obamacare coming. And I believe government takeover of medicine is probably the biggest risk we have to our personal freedom. That and what they're going to do to our cars. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, because something that's coming your way is every second you're in a car, you're going to be charged money on a variable rate. Then we're going to talk about that tomorrow on Rush's show. So I've always been aware of who Obama is, and the media continues to soft pedal and hide these things. And this tragedy of Obama, in my judgment, was that he could have done something about gang violence, but he does not want to get in the way of two dynamics in the Democrat Party. If it propels personal freedom, they're not in, unless it's sexual freedom or perceived to be sexual freedom. Because sometimes that's slavery too, okay? If it perpetuates addiction to the state, or being creating people beholden to the state, they're all in. So Barack Obama could have held a conference of cities and held a conference of mayors and held a conference of gang members and said, stop killing one another. Because he did have the attention of African Americans in our country. What does it mean that he didn't do that? That he chose not to make that happen? The media can't ever get near talking about that deficit in what he could have done. In fact, he could still do. And to no degree does he really want to do this. Because it violates that principle. And for the Republicans, what the Democrats want to cast us as is we're the no cake party. So they'll take what is perceived to be sexual freedom, sometimes leads to sexual slavery. Okay, and they'll say, well, you, the Republicans, they don't want you to have fun. They don't want you to go out and have abortions whenever you want them. They're the no cake party. And the Republicans play into this because Republican leaders refuse to talk about the downside to lives like that. So that's why they treat these things differently. Joe from Springfield, Ohio, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Welcome. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush. Hi, Joe.
Hi there. Hey, I just wanted to touch on something that you brought up about the difference with the left on the guns and the drugs and the opioids. As a paramedic over the years, the opioids and the drugs kept getting worse. And, you know, they want to deal with the guns because when a mass shooting happens or gang violence, that's easy to target because it's in one specific area, unlike the drugs that's rampant across the country, and it transcends everyone, whether you're rural, suburban, urban, inner city, and the news won't cover that because they don't have enough time in the day to cover all of it.
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying, but they do have time in the day to mention this. They do have time in the day. Let me ask you, Joe, have you ever heard the phrase pain is the fifth vital sign? Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what it is. This was a marketing gimmick. The media has time to, they've gone after the families, with the opioid companies. They've gone after them. I'm forgetting the name of the family right now with the big opioid countries. They've gone after them and their role in this, as the media explains it. But have you ever seen a media report on what happened when lobbyists sold the idea of pain as a fifth vital sign and on came these opioid addictions? Have you ever seen that exposed?
No, never heard of it, never seen it. All it was okay, well, we're going to swap out, because we give, opioids in the field.
Right.
Let's give this to take care of their pain.
Exactly.
And that was the rise of the pill mills, and yep. I've got friends in Southeast Ohio and Appalachia, and it stretches everywhere.
Exactly. And this is the point to me, Joe, is the media may not have time to go, do reports on all around the country. But there's one easy to tell story. Lobbyists sold the pain is the fifth vital sign, which started the opioid addictions. And yet the media doesn't want to talk about that. Why? Because who gets a lot of donations from the pharmaceutical companies? Number one, Democrats. Where do pharmaceutical companies buy the bulk of their ads? On the old style legacy media news shows. That's why. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB network. It's Todd Herman. A huge honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh today and every day. Tomorrow's Open Line Friday, and I hope you guys will call with some reflections and predictions that Rush made about the Trump presidency that have come true. We'll take an opportunity to look back on that as we look forward to 2020. Something that you need to know, you probably, there's a bunch of you in cars right now, and I've listened to Rush my entire adult life. I know there's a lot of folks who drive trucks for a living, etc. A trend coming from both coasts, but largely from the West Coast, is finding ways to engineer putting a GPS unit in your car. And to track you, but not just to track you, but to auto fine you for things like, oh, well, you've aggressively braked, and to send that information to your insurance company. In fact, this is embedded in a lot of new cars, is the ability to communicate that to insurance companies immediately. But more to the point is the fact that government intends to auction off your drive to work, that you're going to face blackmail rates for a drive to work. Maybe the drive's $50 one day. maybe it's going to be $100 the next day on every inch of every road. There's so much work that we have to do and so much that we have to defend that this 2020 election just grows importance every day. Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.